We continue our studies on the practices of a disciple maker. What are those things that a disciple maker, somebody who seeks to make disciples, needs to intentionally work into their lives? In other words, habits, culture, lifestyle, something that needs to become ingrained into the life of anybody who wants to make disciples. Number two, we're looking at obedience. Now, you remember in the passage we read in Luke chapter 10, which is basically our underlying passage for this particular lesson, lesson 4 of Lead. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." Go your way. Go your way. Behold, I send you out. So Jesus is commanding his disciples to go. Naturally, he expects them to obey. Go your way. A disciple maker needs to cultivate a lifestyle of obedience to the commands of Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "Go your way, I'm sending you." And then Nathaniel and Andrew and Thomas have a side talk and they say, "I'm not sure it's convenient. I'm not sure I'm ready to embark on this particular, outreach or something." They all went. They all went. The 70 of them, they all went, two by two. So obedience must be built into the life of a disciple maker as a lifestyle, as a culture, as a habit. It's something that we just live. Why? Because we are disciples of Jesus and there is no discipleship without obedience. A few scriptures on what obedience is, biblical obedience. Jesus teaching us in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I mean, that's a very, very clear statement. If you love me, keep my commandments. You will see in the scriptures that loving God and obeying God are intricately woven together. You can't separate the two. If you love me, keep my commandments or obey my word. Further down in the same chapter, verse 21, Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them," in other words, he who has received my word and obeys it is he who loves me. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Again, we see the connection, love and obedience. Jesus interprets my love for him by how much I obey him. Not by the songs I sing, not by the emotional feelings. Obedience and love, as far as Jesus is concerned, is connected. There is no way we can separate. I can't say I love God, but I don't obey his word. It doesn't work. Look at the same chapter, 23 and 24. John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words." Wow. That's a punch right there. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So Jesus, again, buttressing and emphasizing the need for obedience as proof or evidence that we actually love God. I can't say I love God, but I don't do his will. I don't obey his word. His word says, "Forgive those who have offended you." But I say, well, they are the ones who offended me. They need to come and ask for forgiveness before I can. But his word, the master says, "Forgive," but I hold grudges. The word of God says, "We should share our bread with the needy." But here am I, stockpiling my own no resources, wanting to save for a rainy day, but my neighbor doesn't have. But the master says, "Share." The master says, "Freely give." So obedience, this is not to pile guilt on anyone, but just to say, what does the word of God say about a matter? Right now we have sections of Christians who are debating whether the word of God really says what it says. And I think underneath all that debate is an unwillingness to simply obey. There's this song we used to sing when we were much, much younger. "Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Christ Jesus except to trust and obey." So Obedience is central to the Christian life. Obedience is central to discipleship and to disciple making. So a practice of a disciple maker is consistent obedience to the word of God. Look at much later in that same chapter, verse 31, Jesus says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." So I do. So he's linking his love to the Father to his obedience to the Father. Heaven has a different yardstick for measuring love. Here on earth, we have our own definitions. We have our own parameters and what we think love is. But in heaven, they are saying, if you really love us, just obey what we say. I mean, that's nothing can be more simple than that. You love me, keep my commandments. The very next chapter, chapter 15, we see Jesus again speaking on verse 14, John 15, 14. He says, "You are my friends if," conditional, "if you do whatever I command you." Anybody can sing, "I am a friend of God." Anybody can sing that. But as heaven is listening, the question is, but have you kept our commandments? Are you doing what we say you do? Friends, I think we need to begin to read the Bible with a different set of lenses, to begin to ask ourselves, what is God saying to me to do? What are those particular commands? Jesus actually sent us out to teach the nations to obey, not just to know the things he has commanded us, but to obey whatsoever he has commanded us. So obedience is central to ourselves being disciples who can make disciples. So we say merely reading the Bible is not safe enough, but obeying what is written. A.W. Tozer, a man of God who lived several years ago, greatly respected, his books have been a blessing to me personally. A.W. Tozer said, "The driver on the highway is not safe when he reads the signs, but when he obeys them." Can you imagine somebody speeding along a six-lane highway? And then there are signs that keep warning him, slow down, you know, cut your speed down to 80 or 50. Why? Because there are speed bumps, high speed bumps ahead. But the person ignores the signs. He reads the next one, slow down, 40 kilometers per hour, because there are speed bumps ahead, but he ignores. He's still doing 120. The next set of speed bumps, sign says, slow down, speed bumps ahead, 20 kilometers per hour. But he ignores. He's doing 120 kilometers. It doesn't matter even if the person is playing gospel music in his car. He will crash. So, point here is that merely reading the Bible does not keep us safe, but doing what it says. We need to ask ourselves, is it a struggle for us to obey God? And why or why not? There are many implications and consequences of disobedience. We can find this in the lives of many, many biblical characters. Those who obeyed and the resultant effects, and those who chose not to obey, and of course the consequences of their decisions. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, somebody I greatly respect also, wrote a book titled The Cost of Discipleship. But he made a statement. He said, "Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes." So if I claim to be a believer, but I do not obey, am I really a believer? It means I don't really believe what I claim to believe. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" So he wasn't referring to outsiders. He wasn't referring to atheists. Referring to us Christians. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" So a disciple seeks to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. A simple way to grow in obedience is to write out specific commands. As you spend time with the Lord, as you gaze into his word, the Spirit will put things on your heart that you can write down and begin to practice. We call these I will statements. Simple statements that you write out as a result of the commands that you encounter in scripture. And you begin to, you make a note of it, starting with, I will do this. And we encourage that this is done in the shortest possible time, within the next 24 to 72 hours, how you will obey that word. as you study the Bible. Now, we want to encourage that as we practice obedience to the Word of God, this has to become a lifestyle, not a one-off thing. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." So following Jesus goes way beyond just for fellowship, for companionship. All that is wonderful. But if we are truly following Jesus, it means he is in the lead. He calls the shots. He determines the direction. He sets the agenda. We follow. And obedience is simply following Jesus in doing the things he has commanded us. When you look at the book of 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and from verses 6, 1 John chapter 2 from verses 6, or sorry, 3 to 6, scripture says that now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if I don't obey his commandments, can I really claim that I know him? He says, this is how we know that we know him, if. So there's a condition, there's a proof, there's an evidence that you can use in testing the life of those who claim to know him. Do they keep his commandments? He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And then from chapter 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You see, when you are in love with somebody, or when you love somebody, you don't grumble or complain in doing things for them. You long to serve them. You are looking out for needs in their lives so you can meet. You are checking out for opportunities to minister to them. Why? Because of love. So obedience is not some burdensome thing that we have to, you know, work ourselves up to do, you know, grind and tune ourselves up and pump up ourselves to get into the mood of obedience. No, love is the foundation of our very relationship with God. And when you love somebody, you are looking for opportunities and ways to serve them and just put a smile on their face and bring pleasure to their hearts. So Christian obedience needs to be worked into the lives of those who are disciples and seek to make disciples. It takes an obedient disciple to make obedient disciples. I cannot flout the word of God and expect that the people that I am discipling will keep the word of God. Like somebody said, you can't be drinking wine and preaching water. You have to leave what you want to see happen. Discipleship is basically becoming the mirror image or the audio visual that people behold and see what the life of Christ is and how it is worked out in everyday life and circumstances. And as they follow you, as you follow Christ, obedience becomes the hallmark of our discipling process. So that's number two, practice of a disciple maker. Jesus says, go your way, go, I send you. And they went. So obedience is the hallmark of all true discipleship.